World-renowned Uri Geller with us. We're going to take calls with Uri in just a moment on Coast to Coast, chat a little bit with him about UFOs. At the end of the program tonight, time permitting, we're going to do that experiment with him where he will make your broken things work, and so get them ready as well. But we'll be back in just a moment with Uri Geller on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Uri Geller with us. Uri, after your hour, I've got an interview with a couple guests who have done some research on a 1945 UFO crash, not Roswell, but near Trinity, New Mexico. Just another incredible case. Were you zapped by a UFO when you were younger?
Okay, I'll tell you this story. It's pretty amazing. But before that, I just want you to know that I'm inundated by emails as we speak.
Already, huh?
one just came in and said, always a good sign when Uri's back on Coast to Coast, the true friend to all humanity. God bless you, Uri Geller. And that's from Danny. I won't mention your family name, Danny. Thanks very much. There are dozens of emails rolling in. Just to mention you guys, Use Your Psychic Powers to Have It All is my latest book. And Uri Geller, Learn How to Douse, Use the World's Most Powerful Search Engine. You'll find the books on Amazon. All proceeds I give away to sick children. Thanks God I don't have to live from this. This way I can help others. My Instagram is The Uri Geller, Twitter, The Uri Geller, and my Facebook is The Uri Geller. I was 5 years old, George, when I was playing in an Arabic garden. I suddenly saw a sphere of light. Some kind of a ray zapped me, as you said. I ran home to tell my mom. She didn't believe me. She thought I was either dreaming or making it up. But this story haunted me for decades. I used to tell it on radio shows, television shows, and then it was validated by an Israeli Air Force officer who wrote me an email after seeing me in a documentary, and he said, look, Uri, I saw you. I was there. I was walking to my parents' home on Rothschild Boulevard, and I saw a little kid in a garden and this huge sphere of light kind of run after him, moving after him. So that was incredible because for the first time in my life, somebody validated that it really happened. Now, listen, I was tested by Mossad. Mossad, in 1969, remember, there was no internet, there was no mobile phone in 1969. They simply were amazed and did not know how I brought them information. So what they did, they didn't have the tools to test my brain. They didn't have electrodes. So they called up the CIA. And CIA said, yeah, of course, we'll help you out. Fly Uri Geller over to America, and we'll test him. And they actually sent Captain Edgar Mitchell, who was, of course, you all know, the sixth man to walk on the moon with Apollo
15. Yep, we loved him.
To convince me to leave Israel. I left Israel. I befriended him. We became great friends. One day, Ed Mitchell, and says to me, Uri, there's somebody very important in NASA that wants to meet you. I said, sure. Well, who is he? And he says, well, it's Dr. Wernher von Braun.
Wow.
What? I say to Ed, Dr. Wernher von Braun, his background is, he was a Nazi. I mean, you Google Dr. Wernher von Braun and go to pictures, you'll see him standing with Gestapo officers.
Yep.
I told Ed, I'm Jewish, I'm from Israel. You want me to meet Ed, you know, Dr. Wernher von Braun? To make a long story short, my curiosity killed me and I succumbed and I said, okay, let's go. So we arrived to a secret NASA base. This is exactly as it happened, George. I had then a CIA camera that was given by my handler in Mexico. It's a Minox. It's a German Minox camera with which I photographed secret documents in different places in Mexico. And I gave that camera to my brother-in-law, Shiku, and I told him, look, when we enter Wernher von Braun's office, you've got to take a picture because nobody will believe me. Anyhow, we get to his office. Wernher von Braun walks up to me and says, Mr. Geller, I heard about your powers. If you can bend my wedding ring without touching it in my own hand, I will believe in your abilities. So he takes off his wedding ring, clutches his hand over it, and I place my hand, the ring bends, And he freaks out. And then he says to me, come with me. And we enter his personal office. In his office, there is a safe. Werner von Braun opens the safe, and I see a piece of metal inside the safe. He pulls it out, and he says to me, and it's not heavy. He just holds it in his hand, and he says to me, put your hand on this. Tell me what you feel. So I place my hand on the piece of metal, and I immediately tell him, this is not from here. And he says to me, you're right. This is a piece of the UFO that crashed on our planet.
Wow.
Now, I freak out. I freak out because I believe in extraterrestrials. I believe in UFOs. I've never seen an alien. But this man, put the Americans on the moon. He was a German rocket genius who was not prosecuted. Kennedy and his clan brought him to America to use his brain.
Yep.
And he became a leader in NASA. But hang on, this is not the end. So Shippy snaps a picture. You can find a picture on my website of me, the CIA guy, Ed Mitchell, and Werner von Braun. So then he says to me, now come with me. And we walk out to the parking lot. His limo is waiting for him with his driver. And he opens the door and says, sit next to me. So Shippy snaps a picture. And he gives an order to the driver to drive deep into this base. We arrive at a concrete building, no name on the building. There's a soldier standing by the door. He lets us in. We walk down stairs into the three flights downstairs. And we get to a corridor, and there are Antarctica coats hanging there, you know, those orange Antarctica coats. They have a NASA logo. And he says, put one on. And he puts one on. He takes me around the corner. This is Dr. Werner von Braun. And by the way, there are, you know, this story can be backed by Werner von Braun's spokeswoman. She also held that piece of metal. So we come to a huge metal door. Above the metal door, the words freezers. And Werner von Braun opens the metal door, and I totally fall off my feet. I am just mind blown at what I see inside the freezers. Now, all of our listeners, and you too, George, I don't have to spell it out. You know exactly what I see.
I know what you saw. Wow.
Exactly. There are certain red lines that I cannot talk more about it because of certain things I find. But that is the truth. And I'll tell you that Obama knows about it. I believe Trump knows about it. Benjamin Netanyahu knows about it. There are certain people in the higher echelons that know about this. You know what?
Yes.
So that is my story, and it's absolutely true. I've seen it. I've seen them with my own eyes.
Let's go to the phones. Joe in the Bronx. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hey, George. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Uri, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I'd like to ask, now, when you're spoon bending, what is the feeling inside your mind? What is the process? And when you bent your first spoon ever, what was the effect on you? What did you think about that? And how does it feel to be labeled a mentalist? What do you think about that?
Okay, I'll have to answer this very quickly. My first spoon bending happened when I was 5 here in Tel Aviv. I'm looking out of the window. It's 2.5 miles from here. I was eating soup and spoon bend, so no big deal. My mother didn't think it was a big deal because, again, just to remind you, I come from Sigmund Freud's family. The great psychoanalyst, the great psychologist. So my mother thought, well, I inherited certain abilities. In school, kids thought that I was either a magician or they just didn't understand that I was a freak. And as I grew older, I realized that I'm not the only one who can do it. I can trigger people who have this dormant energy. And there were spoon bending parties in the 70s and 80s. Thousands and thousands of people could bend spoons. Labeled the mentalist? Listen, I was labeled everything. People called me a fraud. People called me a liar. People called me a miracle worker. People called me a mentalist. People called me a magician. I just go with the flow. I don't care anymore. You know, I'm, just so you will all know, I'm 75. This December the 20th, I was 75. I still can't believe it, but I am. So at this stage of my life, I really don't care what they call me, as long as you spell my name correctly. So I hope I answered your question. The energy that I feel when I bend the spoon, when I was a child, when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, I wanted to believe that I was that I was creating, that my finger was emanating, or my mind was sending some type of an energy that I could feel in my finger, but no more. I just hold a spoon, I just give a command, bend, 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 and the spoon bend.
Do you sometimes get exhausted doing this, Uri?
Yeah, of course. Listen, when people ask me nonstop, I can't walk in the street here. So what I did, this is really funny, although this is radio, I can't show it. What I did, I went to a tattoo shop, and I tattooed a spoon to the back of my elbow. So when I bend my hand, the spoon, the tattoo bends, the spoon bends. So this is funny, but I tell people in the street, hey, I don't have a spoon, but look at my arm, and I stretch my arm out, and you see a straight spoon, and then I bend my elbow, and the spoon bends. So it's funny.
Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom.
Hey, George. Thank you for accepting my call. It's
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure to speak with you, Uri. And
thank you.
One of your interviews, you spoke about gratitude and feeling thankful and appreciative and grateful for the blessings that life brings to you. And I was really struck by your statements on gratitude, and I attempted to take that to heart, Uri. And I began practicing gratitude every day, every hour if I could, before I go to sleep, when I wake up. And I count my blessings, so to speak. And, you know, and I thank throughout the day, you know, I'm thankful to have a house to live in. I'm thankful to have a refrigerator. I'm thankful to have a car. I'm thankful to be able to walk my neighborhood and greet my neighbors. And so my question for you is, I was wondering if you would explain the importance of gratitude, thankfulness for life, and I really took that to heart. I can't bend a spoon, Uri, but I can feel grateful, and I'm very grateful to you for giving me that wisdom teaching. So if you could explain for the audience, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, let me explain. This is beautiful of you to bring this up. I tell people every morning when you wake up, put yourself in an attitude of gratitude. I'll repeat it. Every morning when you wake up, for a few seconds, put yourself in an attitude of gratitude. Like this beautiful gentleman just mentioned, he has a refrigerator. He has a roof over his head. He can travel and walk his neighborhood. Hey, do you all realize out there? Listen to me now. Absorb every word. Do you realize that every 3 seconds, a baby dies from hunger somewhere around the world? This is shocking. It's tragic. It's a catastrophe that children are still dying from hunger. So gratitude is an energy. It's a power. I'm a religious man, meaning I believe in God. So I also pray to God. I believe in the power of prayer. But we won't go into religion now. So if you practice gratitude, you are actually opening up your mind to receive good and positive and beautiful things. I'll teach you also my kind of 10 mantras, which I do every day for getting things done. After my gratitude, I say to myself, and you, please learn it. Say, do it now. I can and I will. I know what I want. This is very important. Repeat that twice a day. I know what I want. And when you get it, lock on and hold on. And I also want you to say twice a day, I want you to think positive. You say, think positive, think yes. And by the way, never take no for an answer. And quitters never win. Winners never quit. Think like that. And excuses are for losers. And everything is possible. And finally, step by step, stay steady on the target. If you start thinking like this, if you become a positive thinker, an optimist, a believer, an open-minded person, you will start attracting, almost like a magnet, positive things into your life, positive things not only to yourself, but to your family. And if you have argued with a family member or with a friend, today, tomorrow morning, pick up the phone and make up. Say, forget it, I love you, and that's it. Love is a power. Love is an energy. And if you remember in the first segment, I said that I believe that we are all attached to each other with an invisible spiritual thread through which we can send and transmit the power of love.
Did that
answers your question.
Uri, did the skeptic, the amazing Randy, ever reach out to you and apologize or anything like that before he died?
Oh, wow. Do I have a great story. Poor man. I really have to send him and his skeptics and his friends who don't like me 1,000 bouquets of flowers because they created the mystique around me.
They created the
enigma. They created the mysteriousness. Well, one day I went to David Blaine. You all know who David Blaine is, a mentalist and a skeptologist. And he buried himself. I believe it was right next to Donald Trump's building. And everybody from New York came to see him buried under a glass, and he was lying there. And suddenly I see James Randi there, and I meet my brother-in-law, Shippy. So I say to Shippy, wow, here is a good chance to shake his hand and tell him, let's put everything behind us. So Shippy has a small Sony video camera, and I told him, you've got to film this. You've got to film this. So I approached James.
You got to have a record for this one, right?
And I've got to. And luckily, we always carry this, you know, it was an old Sony camera, but it was filming it. So Randy wears this long robe. He looked like a wizard. So I stretch out my hand in front of his face, and I tell him, hey, Randy, this is Uri Geller. Come on, let's shake hands. Let's put all the animosity behind us. And he doesn't stretch his hand. And I said, Randy, here is my hand. And he looks up at me with a very sinister look, and he says, I say to him, Randy, why aren't you shaking my hand? And he says, because I hate your
mother. Oh, jeez. Unbelievable. Uri, we're going to take a quick break here. That's a great story, and you got it on video. We're going to come back and take some final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast. Uri's website, linked up at his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His books are on Amazon. Just put his name up there in the search, and they'll all pop up. Uri Geller. We'll be back in a moment with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, investigator Paula Harris and Jacques Vallée, the UFO expert, talk about the crash of 1945 in New Mexico, 2 years before Roswell. Looking forward to that. We're going to come back in a moment with final calls with Uri Geller. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Uri Geller with us. Time for Penny to write at the end. We're going to do the experiment with your dead appliances. Uri, I got an email from one of our listeners. He's got his dead vacuum ready to go by the radio.
You know, George, another time I'll be on your show. We've got to speak about the power of 1111.
Absolutely.
Just to remind people, my eyes started to kind of be drawn to 1111 on watches, clocks, in hotel rooms, in my cars, in my kitchen. Now, just to remind you, John Kennedy, 11 letters. Bill Clinton, 11 letters. Jimmy Carter, 11 letters. Barack Obama, 11 letters. George W. Bush, 11 letters. Donald Trump, 11 letters. Joseph Biden, 11 letters. Jesus Christ, 11 letters. Isaac Newton, 11 letters. And finally, George Noory, 11 letters.
Wow. You're right.
Surprised.
That'll be our next show, my friend. Let's go back to final calls. Christina's with us in Chickaloon with Alaska. Hi, Christina. Go ahead.
Hello. So privileged to speak with you both.
You too.
I'm just wondering if maybe Yuri can connect with me on any sort of a way.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, after reading his biography and seeing his self-proclaimed psychic, I'm really struggling right now with aligning with God's work that I know I'm meant to be doing. And I'm just wondering if maybe Yuri has some guidance for me.
All right. He's not a medium, but what can you give her in terms of advice, Uri? Anything?
Yeah, of course. I didn't hear your name. Is it Christina?
Christina, yeah.
Yeah, Christina, look, there are lots of people waiting on the line, but please, please get my book, because my book is loaded with positive advice. Use your psychic powers to have it all. I teach people how to release your own psi force for health, wealth, success, and peace of mind. By getting the book, you'll be helping sick people, because I donate most of my proceeds from these types of publications. And you will love it. Stay positive, stay optimistic, stay hopeful. You read every word in my book, and probably it'll change your life to the better. So, Christina, thanks so much, and a big hug for me, and lots of good vibrations from the Holy Land in Israel, where I am right now.
Uri, do you believe we all have these abilities, these powers to do these incredible things?
Absolutely. Look, when you say incredible things, not everybody can bend a spoon.
Right.
But I think we are all intuitive, and this is why I call my book the one on dowsing, that uses the world's most powerful search engine. It's your own intuition. I mean, you've got to trust your intuition, and who knows what you might discover. This is intuition is a power. It's an energy. It's, in most people, it's dormant. But you can awake up your intuition. And, you know, this latest book, the dowsing book, is not about just finding water. I mean, you can also douse for lost objects, buried treasure, archaeological findings. And you can evaluate your health. Remember, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a healer. And I always tell people who send me emails about their disease, their ailment, their sickness, I tell them immediately go to a doctor. You can unlock your subconscious knowledge with my book. You can get answers to difficult questions and identify your path to success and happiness. So, get these two books, and believe me, you will derive very powerful, positive information. I'm always available. My email is on my website. It's uri@urigeller.com. I try to answer all the emails. It's almost impossible to answer them all, because you imagine, just from your show, I have like 70, 80 emails that came in the last hour and a half. The last one is from Ray Dawn Hirsch. She's lovely. She says, I love you. Many blessings. Unbelievable how many emails.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, it's another one for Coast to Coast. Dear Mr. Geller, I believe that Tom. Anyhow. So I will try to answer you all, and just remind me 10 minutes before the top of the hour, we will do the experiment.
Yep.
With the broken house appliances and clocks and pocket watches. And if you can bring also a spoon and a bunch of keys, when we do the experiment, who knows, something might happen in your own home.
And if we have any time left, we'll take one or two more calls after that. Let's go to Joe in Long Island, then we'll do the experiment. Go ahead, Joe.
Thinking of what you were saying about your first book, like if you do a psychic thing a couple of times, wouldn't you say to yourself, this does authenticate it? And wouldn't it be helpful to say, hey, this, you know, authentically, there's something here. You know what I mean, Yuri? Where you don't have to, like, hit a home run or out of the park to authenticate the gift.
Well, most of the time, George, that's true. Go ahead, Uri.
Yeah, listen, I didn't quite understand the question, George, because the sound didn't go. Tell me what's the question?
He's talking about the psychic abilities, but Joe, frame it in one quick question, would you?
Okay, now, for example, if you can get a dream, all right, where you're producing a movie in a dream, you're doing this several times, doesn't that authenticate that you can do this? You could, a given psychic ability, you know, where you can proceed saying, yes, this is authentic. And I can, you know, even though I'm not the best in the world at this, there's authenticity here.
Well, how do you admit to yourself, Uri, that it works? You see the results, I guess, well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for instance, what we're going to try in a moment, we, you know, I see the results. And remember, I've been studied by dozens and dozens of institutions, secret services, and they all deliver the verdict. This is real. This is real psychic powers. Of course, it can be duplicated by magicians, by mentalists, and so on. But, you know, even just the ordinary person out there, for instance, you go to a place that you've never been before, ever, and suddenly it looks to you familiar, and you say, wait a minute, hang on now, this is deja vu. I've been here. So these are psychic powers at work. Or you think about someone that you haven't spoken for a year, and the same day they call you up. And so you can say, well, it's synchronicity or it's a coincidence, but in most cases, it's psychic. You know, and again, a little more positive words. You know, George, everything changes. Nothing stays the same. So whatever problems you're having now, or you're stressed out, you're depressed, you know, you can start with nothing, and from nothing, from no way, there will be a way. And you can use your powers, you can use the psychic powers, because I'll repeat it again, you're the architect of your own life. And if you study yourself, you are going to be amazed by yourself, because we are energetic beings. So all of you are listening now, start to manifest your own creative process. You will be amazed at the success of your own ability to make something happen.
Now we're going to do
the last question.
Let's do the experiment for you here, Uri, as they're lining up. Folks, bring your broken appliances, your broken vacuums, clocks, watches, close to the radio. Mr. Geller's going to take over here. If there's any time remaining, we'll take final calls. But Uri, go for it.
Okay, here we go. This is what I've done for decades. Everybody at home, if you have a very old pocket watch, like 100 years old, and watches that haven't worked for decades, just wind them up quickly. If they do have still the winder, wind the watches up. Now, if you have broken house appliances, things that don't work, just gather them around the radio. This will look kind of, it's lighthearted. To some, it might sound funny, but we'll go and do this experiment right now. We'll run through. So when you wound the watches up, hold them in your hands. By the way, if you have a spoon, place it on the radio. If you can't, put it on a TV set or put it on a chair. Place a spoon on some furniture. Now, don't be alarmed if the spoon suddenly jumps off or floats, you know, kind of sails across the room, because it's not happened. Now, when I say 1, 2, 3, I want everybody to shout out the word work with me together. You'll join in, George.
Okay.
And believe that your mind power can actually fix those broken watches, broken pocket watches, broken house appliances, maybe a spoon will bend. Let's do it 3 times. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, work. Another one more time. 1, 2, 3.
Work.
Everybody at home, if you're in a car, don't take your eyes off the road. But if you have a broken appliance, something broken in the car, focus on it. And the last time, one, two, three,
work.
Now, everyone who has participated in this experiment, open your hands and look at the faces of your watches and clocks. If you have a second hand, look at it. Is it moving? Did it start ticking? If you don't have a second hand on your clock or your alarm clock, lift up the clock and put it to your ear and listen. Is it ticking? Now, if, by the way, if nothing happened to you, do not be disappointed, because this doesn't happen to everyone. It doesn't happen to all the time. But if something did occur, if a spoon bent slightly or a key or something moved in your room or the watch or the clock, whatever, if it is ticking, only if it started, do let George know. And George, how do people let you know about if something happened to them in their home?
They can email me and you too on your website if you want.
Yeah, email me. But again, let me repeat my email address. It's uri@urigeller.com. My Instagram is TheUriGeller. My Twitter is also TheUriGeller, and my Facebook. So what can I tell you, George? I always love being with you. You're such a positive individual. You're amazing, because you're not one of, but you're the best radio presenter ever.
Thank you, Uri.
That's for me.
Let's go to the final calls. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius.
Hey there, George, and Uri Geller.
Hi.
Uri Geller, I've been telling George and happy end of Tom's birthday and everything. Got to call him Tomahawk Tom now, since he's throwing them tomahawks and stuff. And George Norway the Nighthawk. Look, Uri, I've been saying, and I'm with God, guns, and gold, man, the Bible, bullets, and beans, man. I believe old Putin's possessed by Satan and stuff, and I think he's just sold his soul to Satan. So I think that's what's been pushing him. He has some guy named Rasmussen or something like that is his psychic. And I don't know if you've ever contacted the psychics with the Russians and the Communist Chinese, because they had programs like ours too. So thank you, Uri Geller, and God bless you, George and Tommy.
Thank you. Thank you, Cornelius. Listen, there's something that's very interesting what you said about possession.
Yep.
Maybe somebody should exorcise Putin. But, I believe in these type of forces. There's no doubt there's evil out there, because, hey, look what's happening around the world. The world, our world is in a mess, and this is why I believe that the extraterrestrials who will land, I believe, in the coming 30 years, are positive beings. Otherwise, if they weren't positive, because some people say, oh, they're going to destroy. No, if the aliens, if those extraterrestrials that are now testing us and looking at us and flying with these UFOs in tremendous speeds that we can't explain with our sophisticated science yet, and we hear the pilots, our pilots screaming in the cockpit, oh, my God, what is that? They're observing us. If they were negative, if they wanted to destroy us, they would have done that a long time ago. I hope they will come here and they will teach us how to stay healthy for 200, 300 years. I believe they have the power, they have the knowledge, and I think that in the coming 30 to 60 years, they will be a landing on our planet.
Uri, we've got just 45 seconds left. Would you tell folks about your books and your website?
Thank you. Listen, first of all, I love you all. Big hug for me. Kisses. My two new books are Use Your Psychic Powers to Have It All on Amazon and Uri Geller Learn How to Douse. My website, urigeller.com. And more important than my books is my love to you all and to you, George, too. And I'm sure I'll be on your show again.
Always, my friend. Stay healthy out there in Israel. Uri Geller, our dear friend. His website is linked up, folks, at coasttocoastam.com. Uri, thank you again, and you take care of yourself. Up next, Paula Harris and Jacques Vallée joins us about an incredible UFO case that occurred back in 1945. Paula, the investigative reporter, dug into this with Jacques Vallée, and they wrote a book called Trinity. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And, of course, you're participating. You'll take their calls, and we'll take yours next.